Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Did You Know? A program that looks at history and attempts to correct that knowledge that has basically been deleted from our history. It's not adding anything to, it is just making sure that we know all the facts. Many of these facts have been distorted for a long, long time. Because as you look at history, you will find that one of the reasons that we had slavery is that the slave owner said that blacks were so inferior that they couldn't make decisions. They couldn't self-promote. They couldn't motivate themselves to do positive things. And in order to maintain this charade, it was necessary not to talk about them at all. Because most people have no idea how cruel slavery was. We're presented with a toned-down version that says that we worked from sunup to sundown. We don't talk about the horrors that took place where men, women, and children were beaten with whips until the skin was flayed open, and that in many cases, to continue the pain that was suffered, they often used brine to inflict additional pain. I don't know if you know what that's like, but the next time you get a cut, a serious cut, get salt water and put on it and see if that makes a difference. This is the cruelty that people were subjected to. Not only that, but in many cases, it meant loss of body parts. You could have ears cut off if you ran away. There's the old myth and the story that if you asked a slave whether they had a good master, they would say yes, knowing good and well did not, that the person that was enslaving them was extremely cruel. But why did they do this? Because if word got back to the master that you were talking bad about them, you could be subjected to intense cruelty, including having a foot or hand or something cut off merely because they felt like doing it. There were laws that said that if a slave died while you were subjecting them corrective punishment, there was no crime. There was no crime that nobody would inflict pain on somebody they were depending upon. That was their side of the story. That's not the slave side of the story. So when we talk about today, all black towns, the idea generally does not come up. Because who is going to settle a town when you can't even decide in the morning whether you're going to work or not work, given your freedom, your choice? So this is what has happened. We have a lot of white people that are carrying around baggage that they don't need to carry around, because not everybody in America agreed with slavery, not even in the South. And in the South, there were rumors and people were led to believe that at least they weren't at the bottom rung of the ladder, because there was somebody beneath them. That was the black people. When we went to war in the Civil War, and we were fighting over the condition of slavery. Abraham Lincoln did not care, although he had some tendencies towards the progressive side of the house, that a house divided could not stand. America could not subsist if half were slave, half were free. So we were trying to decide what would America become. There were white people in the South that aided black people, not because they were black, but because it was the right thing to do. Now, I'm going to give you a phone number here, because as we talk, I want you to engage in the discussion. Most of you are on using a device, such as a phone, a tablet, a computer, that is connected through the internet. And believe me, we love you. We enjoy you joining us. But I cannot see you on my dashboard in order to interact with you, to find out what your question is, your comment, your disagreement is, without that. So you can listen on your device. But if you have a question, you have a comment, a suggestion, want to express yourself, we encourage you to do so. But the number that you need to call is 646-668-8217. That's 646-668-8217. Now, I will be opening the microphones a couple of times during the program, and depending upon the questions, the number, et cetera, how long they will be open. But we will come back and open them again. Because the program, where we need to understand what has happened, how we have built certain images, how we have developed to the point that we are, why we don't want people to understand black history. When I discovered that there was really a black history, it was very, very confusing to me, because I could not understand why we were not told much of this information. And there is a ton of it that we don't know. When it talks about all black towns, I'd heard of one or two. I didn't know that there were many. And I had not looked into why we were having this phenomenon in the United States of America. I didn't understand the difficulties that we had in even owning a home, and what this does and how it passes down, basically passes on the generational wealth that most people have been able to use to accumulate wealth over the generations. And we see this, and we ignore it, because we've been fed other information, that the slaves were so happy being in the South, picking cotton, being subjected to all types of mistreatment. And we have bought it because we don't run across anything that says otherwise. This is the main reason that people do not want people to understand or become aware of black history. The good, the bad, the ugly. That people were subjected to all manner of torture. That slave owners who had made commitment to their wives before God were violating these with absolutely no penalty, none whatsoever. as if it were okay. We see this time and time again, and it becomes acceptable in the eyes of those who do not look deeper than the surface of a subject. Last week, we talked about Ann Lowe, A-N-N-L-O-W-E, one of the most sought-after designers of women's clothes in America. She designed and sewed the gown of Jacqueline Kennedy, one of the most notorious dresses ever. The dress was praised, but the designer, the person who sewed it, was not. We never want to give credit to people under these circumstances. And in order to maintain the greatness that is America, we need to understand that we are truly a melting pot, or as some have described it, a salad bowl, or what have you, meaning that you can maintain some of your characteristics and it enhances the other that's there. But whatever the case may be, if we are not truthful, if we do not tell what has taken place, we cannot refer to history as something that we need to know in order to prevent it from happening again. Because in order to know what happened, we need to tell the truth in order to make sure that it doesn't happen again. We have to understand it, understand what happened, and understand how to prevent it from happening again. These are things that scare us to death as Americans, because we don't want to face the truth. We don't want to face what has been there. Now, we had people come over here in many, many, many years ago, centuries ago. But many people came unknowingly, were not enslaved. And I'm talking about black and other nations. Because at that time, people came from many different nations. What had happened is that we were a brand new country, shipload of people every now and then. And there were all these lands occupied by Native Americans. We sometimes refer to them as Indians. I try not to do it, but I've had that concept on me for so long, and I still hear it so much that occasionally I'll do that. But these are the original owners of the land that is occupied by Canada, the United States, Mexico, and down into Central and South America. What we saw was not a land where we could be together. What we saw was profit, nothing but profit. When we had the first black indentured servants come in, the agreement was the same for them as it was for white people. I'll pay your way over here. You work for me for 5 to 7 years, and I'll give you 50 acres of land. That was no big deal because they didn't own the land in the first place. And so what we have done is we came up then with a system that says, I can enslave you, I own you, I can do whatever I want to you or with you, however the case may go. And in return, I can become filthy rich, rich beyond comparison. All I have to do is own you. I can get you to work from sunup to sundown. I can get you to work whether you're sick or well. I can make you do the most the least desirable task anybody would want to have. And I can do it at my beck and call. Now, I'm not going to pay you anything. So you can't own anything because you have no money to buy it with. I'm going to work you and work you and work you until I become rich. At the time of the American Civil War, the slaves were worth more than all the factories and railroads in the North and the West. And we go through a situation, where not only is America, but other countries are making wealth off of the goods produced here. When we look at the Southeast, most of those were swamp areas. They had to be cleared. Black people are the ones that cleared them. White people could not handle the work of doing it. And when we started the Civil War, those people that had the most to lose, the rich slave owners, they exempted their sons from war. There was a law in the books, the 20 slave rule. I cleaned this up quite a bit. It says for every 20 slaves I own, I can exempt one of my sons from going to war, the war that maintains my high standard of living. And so we had white people that were forced into the war, not because they agreed with it, but because of the law. And if you think that it couldn't get any worse by the end of the war, for every 15 slaves I owned, I could exempt one of my sons. So when we see people that have worked for generations, for centuries, without pay, they had no ability out of this system. A few did, because as I'm doing some research now, I find that when the American Revolutionary War broke out, there were over 2 million enslaved people in this country. Over 2 million of those, about 2.2%, were free black people. So we've always had free black people. But when you can work a person, give them the worst feed, the worst clothing, the worst housing, then you stand to become rich. They are not able to do anything. They can't even buy a plot of land to plant a tomato on because the system does not pay them. And here we are talking about cities being founded by black people. One, the lie that has been told that we don't have the ability, not able to decide on what our future holds. This is how absolutely ridiculous this idea is. But we did have some people that had skills, and all of the skills that they got did not come from slavery, because we had craftsmen that were brought over here. When we look at South Carolina, for example, one of the most producing crops was rice, R-I-C-E, rice. And that rice did not come from China, did not come from the Orient. There were people in Africa that knew how to raise rice. They were in demand in South Carolina. There's a lot of work to be done to make a rice paddy. A lot of physical labor goes into it. Not only that, but the harvesting requires certain skills. The preparation for it requires skills. And so in certain parts of South Carolina, people from Sierra Leone and other parts of Africa were in high demand because of this. When you think of a country, and I have to admit, ignorance on my part. The first time I went to Africa, I thought I would be like everybody else, probably in a grass hut somewhere trying to figure out how to keep from being eaten by a lion, trampled by an elephant, or what have you. But that's not what I found. I found great scholars over there. As I did research, there were universities in Africa. The early Greeks and the early Romans admit that they sent their children to Africa to be educated. Sent their children to Africa to be educated. Not a word of that comes back over here. What we're told is we're the dumbest things on the face of the earth. Cannot figure out what we're going to do in the morning. Cannot make a plan for what we want to do. There have been craftsmen in this country for most of its existence, not just as blacksmiths, but when we look, slave labor built the White House. Are we going to talk about that? We should, because it's part of history, factual history. But no, we don't talk about that, because it will show that our grandfather wasn't up to speed when he talked about the fact that we were shiftless, could not make decisions, could not secure our own future or do anything else. This is the misinformation that's been placed out there. Yes, there are sources of information that contradicts that, but we don't put it up there. And why not? Because when we look at what we're going to talk about, if we talk about things that contrast what we've been told, we are in limbo. We have no idea what we're doing, which way we're going to go. And then we have to justify the lies that we were told earlier. Now, as we go, I want to give you that number again. And I want you to write this down, put it in your phone, whatever. Because every week as we come to you, bringing you these facts, we want to hear from you. Are there other topics that you want to hear about that we haven't covered? Or maybe you want more detail about a particular subject. I am in a pool here where I don't know everything because it was not taught to me. It was not taught to me. Now, my feeling on this was hurt, sadness, confusion, because I can't see why we were not told what we were able to do. Slowly coming to the conclusion that it is because if we did talk about these things, the next question would be why? Why are we afraid to talk about this? Why do we consider this such an act of taboo? Can't we go back to the facts? Understand the facts? Build upon the facts? And move forward, or will the world fall apart if we know this? We act as if the latter is what's true. Not always that way, my friends, not always that way, because we have been fooling ourselves. When I spoke, three, four, 5 weeks ago about Solomon Carter Fuller, this is a topic that should touch everybody listening to this broadcast. Why? Because Solomon Carter Fuller was the first doctor, black doctor, trained in America. we had people such as James, Smith, James McCoon Smith, who was a licensed doctor, but he had to be trained in Scotland because no American facility would allow him to enroll. This is how bad things are. When we talk about Fuller attended what is now an HBCU, Livingstone College in Salisbury, North Carolina. He went on and was accepted into a medical school and became a fully licensed doctor. He studied more. He became the first black psychiatrist in the United States. And because of work that he was doing, he could do autopsies, perform autopsies, and he was making remarkable progress in his chosen area. Many people now have friends, relatives, and others who are fighting dementia, fighting Alzheimer's. And what we find is that Dr. Alzheimer selected Fuller to continue his research. America has such a taboo with race that they wouldn't continue to fund his work. Now, he knew an awful lot about this disease because he was so involved in it. He was the one there performing the autopsies. He was the one that knew what Alzheimer was looking for, what he had found, what he had discovered. Excuse me. They were like on one wavelength. They were on the same wavelength. But after Alzheimer passed, Fuller couldn't continue to fund his research. If any of us, and I doubt that there's anybody out there that is not aware of the pain of seeing a loved one being decimated, returning to infancy and beyond because of Alzheimer's, we see and understand the importance of making sure that we know what is possible, what has happened, and what we can do to change it. Imagine if your mother, father, brother, sister, son, cousin, neighbor, wife, husband were spared the decimation of that disease, which very easily could have been the case had we not hidden behind the barrier of race. What we did have, now let me go back and make sure that you understand this. When the American Revolutionary War broke out, 2 million slaves, enslaved people, were in this country. Over 50,000 of them were free. They took actions. I'm going to be talking about this January 13th and 14th at the Cowpens National Battlefield in Chesney County in South Carolina, because most people don't realize that we have had black people in the American Revolutionary War. They performed admirably. They have performed in every war that we have, but in many cases they had to fight for the opportunity to participate in these wars. These are people that were willing to put their life on the line for this country. They love this country, but yet this country hasn't loved them back. Why? How much more could we gain if we realize that all people, and I'm not just talking about black people, every country, and we have had other countries that we have made fun of, that we have put down. At one time, the Irish or the Italians or the Polish or others, and we could have been benefiting because of it. Many people think that every slave spoke some form of broken English. English were not the only people to own slaves. There were Germans, there were other languages. And while we want to make it seem like black people could not understand language, that was primarily because you would not educate them, that they were incapable. Yet on many posters looking for runaway slaves, they would mention that they were polyglots. And what's a polyglot? It's a person that can speak several languages fluently. That doesn't come from people that are incapable of learning. So let's go back. Let's look at the houses that we're talking about. Now, again, that number is 646-668-17. I don't have anybody showing up on the dashboard at this time, but if you have the courage to come on, we can treat each other with respect. Respect doesn't mean necessarily agreement, because we can disagree, but we don't have to be disagreeable. I have many friends that don't agree with me on this and other subjects. Doesn't mean we can't be friends. We just know that we have some differences of opinion. Most everybody has a different opinion on something from a friend of theirs. I want to establish a communication. That's why I give the number. That's why I post every week on AmazingBlackHistory.com. If you ever want to know what we're going to talk about, go to Amazing Black History and look at the most recent post. The most recent post. Try to post on Thursday. And we try to do this so that you can have a chance to look at and study the information. We start with a summary, but the post does not end there, because we've gotten videos that we think are additions, great additions, to understanding the situation. We have books, because we don't want you to just know the surface of a topic. If it interests you, you can dive deeper. You can dive deeper. You're not going to probably have an intense interest in all of the subjects like I have, like some other people have, but those that strike your fancy, have at it. One of the problems that I had, I knew that there was something else, something different, but I had no idea where to start. So what we do, or what we find, is that in the 1800s, after the Civil War, and people were able to start acquiring some wealth, they started to look at other cities, finding their own city. Why would you want to live in a city where you have been mistreated all of your life? Your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents have been mistreated in this area. Sometimes you want to go out and give it your best shot as to what you can do. So we did found black cities. We founded them, and it was in a time when most people and the economy was based on an agrarian economy, raising food products, the infamous cotton, what have you. We had not gone to the industrial age, and small cities had a difficulty. Small cities, both black, white, and every other nationality, had a time surviving, and many of them did not. But we also see where there were people that took advantage of the situation. they were able to keep people down, keep people under the burden of jobs. And this is one of the difficulties we had. Now, when we did start going into manufacturing factories and what have you, we had laws that allowed for eminent domain and other situations, and they could be taken advantage of. Now, this is something that continues to happen today. We go through and we take black communities, and we basically obliterate them. You think that this is something that doesn't happen? Look at the Tulsa riots. Look at what happened at Rosewood in Florida. Read the article and see some of the cities that are there. Even look at sundown towns, and some of them exist today. What is a sundown town? If you're black, you do not want the sun to set on you in that town. Now you say, are you sure you're talking about America? And I said, I am absolutely 100% positive. This is what happens when we don't understand what we have been through, all of the encumbrances, and most of all, what we are capable of doing. What we're capable of doing. The first black woman to own and charter a bank and run it was in Virginia. In Richmond, Virginia, of any race. And this is what we have. We don't know about it. There are others that could do the same thing. But because they don't know that it can happen, oftentimes it doesn't. This is why when we talk about all black towns, we see a situation that exists. Don't even think about it. Because we look at what has taken place. We don't see the battle that has taken place, the struggle that people have gone through and succeeded at, because we don't tell that story. We have many people that linger believing that it can't be done. I have to admit that I was in this camp because I didn't see anything else. I didn't know where to find anything else. And so I languished in obscurity in much of my life. I didn't hear about history because I couldn't see myself as a part of it in any way. When I looked at those pictures in those books, there were people that dressed funny, funny hairstyles, funny hats, whatever. There was nothing there for me. I knew of no one that had attempted to break the system, although we have been doing this for years, for centuries. But most of the time, it's not done. We look at people that were in responsible positions at the beginning of the American Revolutionary War. And yet we don't talk about them. We don't know about them. We lose people being inspired. And I'm not saying that a black person has, but we have slanted our history to such a point that we begin to believe that. Most whites have never thought of the concept of a black city. Most blacks only have heard of the possibility of one or two. And then, because we don't see anything else about it, come to believe, did it happen or did it not? Did it happen or did it not? We're saying it's real. We're saying that we wanted everything that anybody else wanted. We were capable of what other people wanted. We were sometimes the victim of the law. Not protected by the law, but were the victims of the law. And this has been detrimental. We need to move on. We need to move forward. We need to recognize people for what they have done and what they're capable of doing. So we continue down this road, and in that article, you'll see some city names. There are other articles that mention others, but they're real. Look at them. I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to see that it's there, and if that's where you have an interest in finding out more, we try to provide that for you. We try to provide that for you. And yet and still, you go around saying, I don't know about it, so it has never happened. Some of the most remarkable things that we can come across have links that we have never studied. And we consider ourselves to be educated. We consider ourselves to be forward-thinking. We consider ourselves to have made progress. But sometimes when I look at where we are, where we can go, and where we should be, it is a very sad thing to me. Because I can see us being much further down the road, much further down the road. I wish that it were possible to have a pill that you could take and suddenly have all of this knowledge. But what we're doing is we're doing the second best thing. And that is we're providing it to you as we can. And this is why I would like so much to have somebody say, I never heard of this. Tell me more. You're not telling me the truth. Why do you believe this? Whatever the situation is, I'm not just looking for people to agree with me, although it makes you feel good when people do. But there's just so much. When we look at Lewis Latimer, and most people say, who the heck is Lewis Latimer? Lewis Latimer worked for both Edison and Bell. They both wanted to hire him full time because of the genius that he had. Now, where did he get this? He was allowed to do some study, as most people would like to do. It was so bad that we had laws that said you cannot teach a black person, enslaved or free, to read, write, or calculate. In other words, reading, writing, and arithmetic. It was against the law to do it. And yet there were people that took advantage when they could and made sure that they taught people. I recently gave a talk, and we were talking about schools. And here in South Carolina, we had nurses. I think, can't remember her name, but Taylor, King Taylor was her last name. And she attended a bucket school. White people would get infuriated at the idea of teaching black people to read, write, and do numbers. Now, when you can't do calculations, we, after slavery, think about how magnanimous it was to have sharecroppers because everything was split evenly, correct? No, it was not. Because you didn't have anything saved, so you couldn't go forward a year. You had to buy seeds. You had to keep yourself alive. And most of these people were making 30 to 60% profit on what they were doing, and then using a very sharp pencil at the end to do this. This is another reason that people wanted out from under the yoke that they found themselves, out from under the yoke of oppression. And it was okay because these people were black. How do you feel about that? Do you think that your church would be 100% supported? In most cases, they were. Surprise, surprise, surprise. In most cases, they were. They did that. I'm hoping that somebody calls in 646-668-8217. Because I want to talk to somebody. I want to hear somebody. I had friends, and to show you how deeply it can go, when I first went to work, I worked in an area where there were very few blacks, but I went in as a professional person. I went in as a chemist. And over the period of time, we were able to discuss some conditions. What I consider a friend is saying, we were taught to call people the N-word. That's all we ever heard. That's all we ever knew. Fine. Now, that gives me some hope because we have people that are willing to share what happened, why it happened, what can be done about it. There may be people that are offended by that. I found that it was not. I found that when we could get to a point where we could share our deep, true feelings. And I had situations that were just as negative in the other direction. Because I said, how can anybody do this or that and not know that they are doing this or that? And so my hackles were up, their hackles were up, until we were able to talk about it, communicate about it. This is what we need to do. This is the purpose of having this discussion and going back. So when we had all black cities, these weren't slums. What we find later is that the generational wealth gap is created because the United States government bought into a system of redlining. What in the world is redlining? Banks are told, don't loan money to anybody in this area so that they can buy a house. Don't loan money to anybody so that they can repair or upgrade this house. These are things that held people back. Not the lack of ingenuity, not the lack of fortitude, but because we can't do it. Now, when the children of those people that were able to buy a house, they could borrow money to send them to school. Other people couldn't do it because they didn't own anything. And besides, if they owned anything, they weren't going to be allowed to do anything about it. Do you think that is a fair situation in the United States of America? And in many cases, it happens now. I have a house that they want to tax me a rate that is not commensurate with what I can get. And I've had realtors tell me, if this house were on the other side of that street, you could get it. Is that fair? Is it? Do you think it is? What happened if your house were like that. My neighborhood is gone. It doesn't exist anymore. And it was sad, not because it was my neighborhood, but because I had seen people in that neighborhood that had worked all of their life to own a house, to look forward to the time when they would be retired. They would have something that they could call their own. The city came through, undervalued their houses even more, basically took them. And if you take my house and don't give me enough to buy a comparable house, wherever it is, you haven't done me a favor. You have not done me a favor. So most of these towns could not survive under the circumstances that they were there. And we often further devalued them by coming through and taking entire neighborhoods, entire cities, and allowing a factory to build there, a factory that would pollute chemically, noise-wise, health-wise, and so many other ways. This is not the way that we treat American citizens. But so many people, and these are the ones, some of the ones I want to hear from, who don't realize that they were part of that system, realize, and they're honestly not realizing that. I didn't realize that until I started talking to people. Now, a lot of people come up and ask you a question, want you to spill their guts. They're not willing to tell you anything about how they grew up, what they were thinking. I grew up in a town that had two black police officers, but they couldn't arrest a white person. That's just the way it was. If they called the police and a white officer came out, that white officer could make a decision as to whether to arrest this white person or not. But the black law enforcement person did not have the backing of anybody to do the job merely because of the color of the person that may be arrested. Think about this for a while. Not only is that damaging to the system, but it is damaging to the people involved in the system. This is during my lifetime, and it wasn't only in my city. It was in other cities that I went to. When I went to college, I thought that we were getting the short end of the stick because when they paved roads in my neighborhood, there were no sidewalks, and they put down some gravel, tar and gravel, and that's it. And we had rocks to contend with for long periods of time until enough cars drove over them to throw them off the road. I go to college. I'm in a city that's supposed to be an all-American city. And I see that the pavement stops when it leaves the white neighborhood. So they put something down, gets all over your car. And very soon after it's laid down, you start getting ruts and potholes in the street. They tear your car up. We have not been fair in this country. And I hope that you look up some of these towns. They're not just in the South. They're in the West. They're in the North. They're all over. But they come about because we believe that there is this inferiority that comes that we have never learned about. I am happy when they hear about the blood bank, because a black doctor by the name of Charles Drew formulated the blood bank, along with the American Red Cross, the American Red Cross. But he lost favor, or lost interest in them, because they insisted that we must have two blood banks. Now, when we see services duplicated, we know that they are not going to be equal. They are not to be equal. That's why I was born in the Spartanburg General Colored Hospital, because they weren't going to spend the same on it as they did any other. And it was a separate physical facility. This is another way of saying, you ain't good enough. We don't recognize you as good enough. And what are you going to do about it? I just want you to know that we have the ability to pursue excellence. We keep getting knocked down time and time again. But it's time for that to stop. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to give the number one more time. I'm having some problems with my voice. I think I can make it, but if there's no one that has an interest in questions, comments, statements, what have you, I'll wrap it up, save this voice for next week, and every week thereafter. That number is 646-668-8217. It is not our intent to embarrass. It is our intent to share information, to listen to different points of view, and move forward anytime you have a question, whether it's about the main topic that we have or something else. We will try to accommodate that particular request. We'll do our best to do that. We're not an encyclopedia. We're not a library. But we have done some research. There's well over 300 posts on AmazingBlackHistory.com. Look at the blog list. You'll see them. Anytime you go there, there is a place where there are recent posts, and they will give you the last four or five posts that have been placed there. You go back, you read one. You have a question, comment, suggestion. Bring it to you. Bring it with you to the program. We can do it by email, or we can do it by discussion. I prefer to discuss it. Can share that concern, where it's coming from. They can learn from both parties. And this is what I think makes us great. When we understand that, when we were talking about integrated schools, it wasn't just a fact of sitting next to a white person. The books that we had were often hand-me-down books. Sometimes they had racial epithets scribbled in them. We didn't want that. Why can't we get new books just like everybody else? There is something to be said about fair and equitable. Fair and equitable. What I'm going to do is I'll continue the discussion for about 5 minutes. If anybody has questions, comments, suggestions, I suggest you do it. I guess you suggest that you do it then or now, however we view that. Otherwise, we will conclude this particular session. Did you know? But those posts are there. Don't be afraid of learning, because there's so much to learn. So much has been distorted. as I talk about many of the ideas, we talk about them without realizing what's taking place. We are now looking for life in other parts of the universe. And we have a person that was a biochemist who basically set up the foundation of how we're going to know if there is life on other planets, other asteroids, or what have you. We are making tremendous progress. We found a moon circling an asteroid millions of miles away. Science moves on, but we are involved in that science. When we look at COVID, Kizmikia Corbett led the team that came up with the Moderna vaccine. Does it make any difference? To some, it does. And I see young people being inspired because she's rather young. I think now she's on the faculty at Harvard, whatever. But it doesn't just inspire black women. It inspires everybody. We need to know that. We need to know that we are a team, that together we build upon the knowledge of others. And when we do that, we find that we move forward at a much greater rate, because there are people that we are leaving back today, that we've left back yesterday, and that we will leave back tomorrow if we don't learn these lessons today. I don't see anybody calling in at this point. I do want to thank everybody that is listening, and even those that are listening through the internet connection. Save your questions. Come back. Join us. Let's all learn together. We will post next Thursday our topic for Sunday on AmazingBlackHistory.com. AmazingBlackHistory.com. Learn as little or as much as you want to know about this subject. Maybe it's not the people, maybe it's the subject. But we hope to give you what you need. We don't know sometimes until we can communicate with each other. I want all of you to know that I pray for all of you that have joined us on this communication. I hope that you join us again. I hope you invite other people to join in our discussion or in our lessons, however they may turn out. I would love to have communications increase and find out what you want, what you need. The program you're listening to is Did You Know? I am your host, John C. Abercrombie, and I pray for all of you. Invite somebody to join us. Don't be afraid to participate, to join and add to our communications. I love you all, and I'll see you again next week at 4 p.m. Eastern and every week thereafter. This and Amazing Black History should be your source of primary information. To all of you, thank you. Be blessed, my friends. Be blessed, and I'll see you again next week at 4 p.m. on Did You Know? Be blessed, my friends. Be blessed.